The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Day, the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to talk about the biggest error crippling mature anointed believers. In overview, this is probably the most challenging and most important message I've ever written. I'm still grappling with what I believe I've been shown, but it seems timeliest to share this now. Please read prayerfully and feel free to give me feedback, whether positive or negative, on the email address at the end. We will start by looking at modern day anointed believers who fall away. I will then share from my own experience and conclusions. I will talk about a failed business venture, mistakenly divorcing my second wife, unwise immigration, and other things. I will then share my current understanding of why it's like this. We will then look at examples from the Bible: Noah and the curse of Canaan, Abram and Hagar, Moshe striking the rock instead of speaking to it, etc. David and Bathsheba, Yehuda from Kerioth, Shaul and Jerusalem. We will sum up regarding the Bible. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room. And I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me And I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, one word. Look at the click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for quote relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So we're going to look at Article 2022-07-06, the biggest error crippling mature anointed believers. This is probably the most challenging and most important message I've ever written. I'm still grappling with what I believe I've been shown, but it seems timeliest to share this now. Please listen prayerfully and feel free to give me feedback, whether positive or negative. Preamble: Modern Day Anointed Believers Who Fall Away. During the past 29 plus years, since I committed deeply to serving Father, I have constantly observed how committed anointed believers fall out, disagree, do and say different and contradictory things, supposedly on behalf of the Creator, etc. Father has also on a number of occasions spoken to me clearly about highly anointed men and women of Yah in this generation, who've fallen into deep error and apostasy, despite massive working of signs and wonders through their ministries. I've repeatedly puzzled over this and asked about it, but never received a clear answer. That is, until the events of recent months have elucidated the situation as set out here. So if you've ever wondered why true believers fight with one another, launch competing assemblies, and broadcast conflicting messages, this message has as much of the answer as I've been able to discern so far. So, folks, this is a really challenging topic that we're talking about here. But the reality is, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about Judaism, Islam, Christianity, or any other religion in whatever shape or form. You find people who at some level claim to have had a significant encounter with the Almighty, who profess to be followers of the Almighty, and yet there are, I don't know what the number is, but I'm guessing there are thousands of denominations around the world of these different religions, who disagree with one another, fight with one another, argue with one another, look down on one another, and yet still at some level attempting to serve the Creator. So let me share a few examples that have been very clear to me recently. A few weeks ago, I published a book by a highly anointed minister who's ministering in a tent ministry in the 1940s through to the 60s. Highly anointed, miracles performed in his ministry, powerful preaching, and yet he died an alcoholic. Another from the same era, highly anointed woman, mighty healing ministry, touching thousands, also 40s, 1940s through 60s. She started ministry as a single woman, then married an abusive husband who sidetracked her completely, and she realized she was in complete error. She divorced, she returned to ministry, and she died early, which suggests that something went wrong. Then more recently, a man with a large number of major visions, caught up to heaven on a number of occasions, author of best-selling books about the visions, eventually fell away into major error. Another man, a powerful worship ministry, eventually fell away into major error. In all cases, there was strong evidence that they were walking closely with Yah at one stage, and yet in the end, they fell away. Note that early death of a mature believer is a clear sign of major sin and error, such that if they do not die at that point, they will be rejected. Then continuing the preamble, my own experience and conclusions. After Yah spoke to me audibly and I turned my life to seeking him on the 12th of March 1993, I started attending a Bible-believing charismatic Christian church near where I lived. I immersed myself in their teachings, and because what they said seemed to make sense, I took on board pretty much everything that they said. Yah sent me to the man who took me to the church, and therefore I assumed that they all had all truth. I was mistaken, as I subsequently learned. In particular, they stated that the Bible was the living word of God and without error. I committed to Yah by holding up my new Bible and praying, "Father, these people say this is your word. I do not understand it, but I choose to believe, and I ask you to answer all my questions." For 8 years, I walked in this belief, filled in something like 1,400-page notebooks of my prayer notes, my Bible reading notes, answers to questions, etc. Until in 2001, following a series of fasts seeking truth, Father clearly showed me and told me that the Bible was just a book, not his word, and was only about 2.5% inspired and contained errors. Folks, I went on and got thrown out of a number of churches, found myself challenging what they were teaching. They said they believed in the Bible, but when I could prove what I was saying from the Bible, they didn't agree with me. Challenging stuff. Once I took the revelation that the Bible was not the Word of God on board, it took me the best part of the next decade to come to terms with this revelation and understand what it meant. I wrote extensively on the subject. See the webpage Essence of Message regarding Bible. In particular, I came to understand that once one ceases to put the Bible on a pedestal and make an idol of it, that there is much more to understanding Yah than can be drawn from the Bible. As a consequence of the revelations that I started to receive in late 2000 onwards, I've written a huge number of articles and created a huge number of web pages. Till today, the website contains in excess of 2,400 articles and over 1,000 web pages. Much of it direct revelation. See the Compilation of Most Writings webpage for PDF versions of most writings up to May 2019. Throughout much of this process, I've prayed, "Father, guide me by your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way." And I've believed that I was being so led. I've gone forward confidently in business, in relationships, and in ministry on this basis. So significant. I had dramatic experiences, encounters with Father in 93, 94, 95, 96. Such that I had absolute certainty of his existence. Going to churches, believed what they were teaching, and then started to discover that they were in error. And yet they were sincere, they were committed, they were having signs and wonders. Coming back to my story, just over 2 years ago, I made a really bad business decision, which cost me a substantial sum of money. When I realized I'd made a mistake, I immediately assumed that Yah was at fault and became angry with him. After all, I was praying, "Lead me by your spirit every second of every day in every possible way." Once I'd calmed down, I was able to hear him say, "You never asked me what to do. And, James, you are not a glove puppet. You have to make your own decisions." This was not the first time Father had told me that I was not a glove puppet. I'd written about it in January 2018. See the article 2018-01-01, "We are not glove puppets." And I'm fairly sure he had said this to me years earlier. For some reason, I did not fully internalize this. See also the essence of my message, "We're not a glove puppet." I course corrected in the context of that situation regarding the business, substantial sum of money that I'd expended. And I launched a battle to get my money back, and I eventually succeeded. But I had to do the work. I had to write the emails. I had to make the phone calls. I had to keep at it until eventually they capitulated, admitted they were wrong, and gave me the money back. With regard to the message I just shared with you about not a glove puppet and I never asked, I continued to process this message and to learn from it. And on the 21st of May, 2022, I added a correction to the prayer page regarding this. See prayer on the website. In May 2022, I published an article, "Myth of Led by Yah Every Second of Every Day." Concurrently with this, I continued to process. In early 2022, battling with financial lack, I finally recognized that I had lifetime covenants with three women, wives, who were not living with me and who were therefore unable to come into harmony with me. As I grappled with this, I eventually realized that there was no way that Father would have told me to covenant with any of these women. He informed me that in this age, it is not possible for a woman who is not living with her man to come into sufficient harmony to prosper. See the page, "Essence of Message, Reprobity of Believers," and "Essence of Message, Overcoming Lack of Believers." So here I was, praying, "Father, lead me by your spirit every second of every day and every possible." Very seductive prayer. I mean, it sounds great, doesn't it? And I'd prayed that for literally decades. Believed it intrinsically that I was being led. Went forward confidently in faith. And then I started to realize I was making mistakes. In the months that followed, one woman broke covenant with me and I divorced her. Her finances improved rapidly. Another woman divorced me because I was not complying with the default covenant terms to provide for her. See the message, "Essence of the Message, Through the Virgin's Covenant." The third woman refused to divorce me and chose to remain in lack because of her love for me. My finances improved significantly, but within contractual constraints. As I grappled with these developments and the realization that there was no way that Father led me to marry any of these women, I started to realize that my life with Father was characterized by any number of comparable mistakes on my part, while believing I was being led by Father in every possible way. The more I thought about it and prayed about it, the more I realized that I'd made huge mistakes from the very start of my journey with Father, starting in March 1993. So a few examples. Business in 1993-94. Within a few months of coming back to Father, convinced by the teachings of my church that if I paid them tithes, Father would bless me abundantly, I entered into partnership with three other men, believing Father was leading me. The company launched a few months before the elections in South Africa, accompanying regime change, and the economy shut down. I lost a huge sum of money keeping the business afloat, and a few years later, we went bankrupt. I realized recently, that seeing as how two of the men were unbelievers, one viciously so, and one was at best a nominal believer, there was no way Father would have led me into partnership with them. It was entirely my mistake. So here we see a classic situation of what you might call presumptuous faith. The church was teaching me if I paid tithes, Father would bless me. I was paying my tithes, I was paying offerings, I was buying recordings of teachings and worship songs and buying books and reading the Bible every day and praying every day and having dramatic experiences. And yet I made a super bad business decision, something that I've never really recovered from. I went into business with people who were not suitable business partners, and then I tried everything in my own strength to make that business succeed, all the while paying my tithes, giving offerings beyond the tithes, convinced that it was Father's will for me to prosper in return for my tithes. Until years later, Father basically said to me, if you give your tithes to a ministry that is in error, you are yoking yourself to their error, and you will be judged along with them on the basis of the error that you have helped to finance. I stopped tithing. And the reality is, you should only give money to a ministry that really is serving Father, that really is walking in truth, that is really helping you to draw closer to Father. And if you're not sure, probably don't give it. There are far too many ministries out there making huge fortunes, preaching lies and false doctrines. Then another really bad decision, divorcing my second wife. In 1996, struggling with an abusive marriage, I prayed for release and I asked for signs. Father led me to an anointed prophetess who prayed for me and saw in a vision that my wife was stabbing me in the back and tripping me up constantly. I prayed for divorce and a new wife and asked repeatedly for signs so that I would not make a mistake in whom I married. After dramatic signs, I entered into lifetime covenant with a fantastic woman who became a devoted wife. Before we covenanted, knowing that I believed it was permissible before Yah to marry more than one woman, she made it clear to me that she would never share me with another woman. I subsequently got it into my head that Yah wanted me to have seven wives. Eventually, in desperation, she divorced me, and I embarked on a journey with seven women who nearly destroyed me and who Father eventually released me from. I recently realized that in terms of Yah's commitment to covenant, that there was no way that he would have asked me to break covenant with my wife to marry additional women. Again, my wrong thinking, believing I was being led. Then immigration. In 2013, having secured British citizenship by inheritance, I re-immigrated to the United Kingdom based on very little research and very little planning, believing it was Father's will. Having arrived with no business lined up, I then proceeded to try email marketing without success, and at the same time devoted a lot of time to ministry, believing that, quote, if I look after Father's interests, he will look after mine, unquote. That's a false belief. It did not happen. Eventually, having been self-employed for the best part of 25 years with aspirations of dramatic revenue, I was forced to take employment, thereby greatly limiting my potential to generate the revenue I aspired to in order to finance my ministry. I recently concluded that it was not Father's will for me to emigrate. And you can ask me, James, how on earth can you have done that? And the answer is, I can't really know. I can't really explain. All I know is that I was praying every night, at the very least, Father, guide me by your Spirit in every possible way, every second of every day, or similar words. And I was going forward with a settled assurance that my prayer was being answered every step of the way, every second of every day, and what I was doing, I was being led to do. And now in the last 6 months, I've had to come to the conclusion that the evidence clearly indicates I was mistaken, etc., etc., etc. In the last 6 months, as I've grappled with this revelation, I've increasingly come to understand that while in terms of my direct relationship with Father Yah, I was obtaining dramatic revelation and was really close to him, in the context of human relationships, commerce, and ministry, I have constantly made bad decisions, resulting in a situation where today I have massive debts, I'm locked into a job that gives me no hope of having the substantial revenue for the ministry that I desire, and I'm locked into a long-distance marriage with almost no hope that we will ever be together, even for a short while, let alone live together. As I've sought to understand this, Father has made it clear that none of these negative situations, that in none of these negative situations did I actively seek guidance, direction, and confirmation from him in the way I did with marrying my second wife. I have just blundered along, believing I was being led in everything, and therefore there was no need for me to ask. Father has also made it clear to me that in 2010, he gave me clear signs that it was his will for me to marry a highly anointed woman servant of his whom I'd met online. Yet for no reason, the day after we set a wedding date, and I cannot explain this fully to this day why I did it, I walked away. Father has said to me, James, what is the point of giving you clear direction when you do not comply? A shocking statement. So why is it like this? In the articles on Not a Glove Puppet, I've pointed out that Yah created us as intelligent, sentient beings to be his friends. He has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Inherent in the statement, the design objective is that Father Yah is not going to live our lives for us and through us. We have to exercise our discretion. We have the option to come to Him for clear guidance, but we must then act on that guidance, seek confirmation, and recognize that He's not going to magic things into existence for us. We will have to do the hard yards, apply our minds and our intellect, and make it happen. Folks, there is a huge body of wrong thinking in the mainstream religions, in the fringe religions, in the individual little religious groupings, that it is somehow possible that the Creator is controlling things every step of the way. At some level, I was sucked into that delusion. It is simply not true. He created us to exercise our intellect, our choices, our will, and earn a place in heaven. Why would He take control of you every second of every day and live your life on your behalf? It's just not going to happen, folks. All sorts of stories about miraculous happenings that support other interpretation are at best suspect, more a function of coincidence than leading by Yah, when the extreme event, an outworking of the satanic and demonic realm, conspiring to lead committed believers into major error and financial or relationship bondage. To summarize, Yah wants partners who apply their intellect, not glove puppets. Folks, this is a really, really challenging message. I've grappled with it for months. I'm not sure that I fully understand it yet, and I don't think I fully understand the ambit and the scope and the magnitude of the mistakes that I've made. I keep getting flashbacks to different incidents in my life over the last 30-odd years. Walking with Father, realize, well, you know what, that was wrong. You know what, that wasn't a sign. It's stunning stuff. But it explains the examples that I gave you at the beginning of anointed work. The chap who ended up as an alcoholic, died an alcoholic, the anointed woman who married a man that she should never have married. The anointed praise leader who's just gone off the rails. The anointed prophet and spokesman and writer who has not delivered his message and is in huge trouble with Yah. So let's look at some examples from the Bible. So having set out my personal experience in some detail, I would like to show you that this is an extremely common experience amongst anointed believers. And I want to start doing that with examples from the Bible. So let's start with Noah and the curse of Canaan. Firstly, consider Noah, extremely close to Yah, called down the flood that destroyed the earth, built his ship or ark, loaded with animals, provisions, equipment, knowledge, resources, etc., and survived a dramatic event. Yet after all this, we read of Noah drunk and naked in his tent, so that his nakedness is exposed, and then he turns around while he's in error and curses his grandson Canaan, a curse that has had huge impacts on the African people to this day. See Genesis 9:20-27 in the Bible. And Noah began to farm and cultivate the ground, and he planted a vineyard. He drank some of the wine and became drunk, and he was uncovered and lay exposed inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw by accident the nakedness of his father, and to his father's shame, told his two brothers outside. So Shem and Japheth took a robe and put it on their shoulders and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, so they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine-induced stupor, he knew what his younger son Ham had done to him, and so he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the son of Ham. A servant of servants he shall be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be Yah, the eternally self-existing, the mighty one of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May the Almighty God enlarge the land of Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." Today, this is known as systemic racism in the USA and elsewhere, relating primarily to people of African descent. Note that the curse can be cut off. See the articles on prayer referred to above. So we see a highly anointed man with a deep personal relationship with Yah acting badly and taking action that has negatively impacted every generation since then. Folks, it's important to look at these things. As I've said, the Bible is a useful reference book. It's not the Word of God or the Word of Yah. It's not mostly not inspired, but it's mostly an accurate history book. It's a book in which you can read about anointed believers and learn lessons from what they did, be it right or wrong. And the fact of the matter is that if you read the Bible critically, you will find a lot of stories about a lot of men and a few women, but primarily men, who messed up badly at some stage in their life, even though in other ways they were serving Yah faithfully and powerfully. Another example, Abram and Hagar. Yah spoke to Abram through his messenger or angel and promised him a son in his old age through his wife Sarah. See Genesis 15. We read in James 2:23 that Abram was Yah's friend. Yet in Genesis 16 we read, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not borne him any children." This is after Yah has promised Abram a son through Sarai. "And she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, 'See here, Yah, the eternally self-existing, has prevented me from bearing children. I'm asking you to go into my maid so that she may bear you a child. Perhaps I will obtain children by her.' And Abram listened to Sarai and did as she said. After Abram had lived in the land of Canaan 10 years, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian maid, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his secondary wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she realized that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress, regarding Sarai as insignificant because of her infertility. Then Sarai said to Abram, 'May the responsibility for the wrong done to me by the arrogant behavior of Hagar be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, and when she realized that she had conceived, I was despised and looked upon with disrespect. May Yah, the eternally self-existing, judge who has done right between you and me.' But Abram said to Sarai, 'Look, your maid is entirely in your hands and subject to your authority. Do as you please with her.' So Sarai treated her harshly and humiliated her, and Hagar fled from her." From this we see the ongoing conflict between Islam, established through Ishmael, the son of Hagar, and Christianity and Judaism, established through Isaac, the son of Sarai. Again, the error of a highly anointed man and woman in close relationship with Yah, who just completely stepped out of line and have had a dramatic impact for thousands of years. Then Moshe, Moses, and striking the rock. Moshe had a deep and powerful relationship with Yah, as strong and powerful as any other servant of Yah, if not greater. Yet in Numbers 20, we see Moshe disobey Yah and be punished by being denied entry to the promised land. Verse 6, then Moshe and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and fell on their faces before Yah, the eternally self-existing, in prayer. Then the glory and brilliance of Yah, the eternally self-existing, appeared to them. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, spoke to Moshe, saying, take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation, and speak to the rock in front of them, so that it will pour out its water. In this way you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their livestock drink fresh water. So Moshe took the rod from before Yah, the eternally self-existing, just as he'd commanded him. And Moshe and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. Moshe said to them, listen now, you rebels. Must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moshe raised his hand in anger, and with his rod he struck the rock twice, instead of speaking to the rock as Yah, the eternally self-existing, had commanded. And the water poured out abundantly, and the congregation and their livestock drank fresh water. But Yah, the eternally self-existing, said to Moshe and Aaron, because you have not believed, trusted me, to treat me as set apart holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, you therefore shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. So we see a man who walked powerfully with Yah longer than any other man who's ever lived, losing his temper, disobeying Yah, and being punished. It's sobering. Then a few other examples. David, and Bathsheba. Then there's King David, of whom we are told in 1 Samuel 13:14, he was a man after Yah's own heart. Yet in 2 Samuel 11:2-27, we read that David, instead of going to war with his soldiers, remained at home, observed Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, bathing, summoned her, impregnated her, and then had her husband murdered. So adultery and murder by a highly anointed servant. This in turn led to a major insurrection and war with David's son Absalom. Massive damage to the kingdom of Israel by her anointed king. Another example, Yehuda from Kirioth, or if you like, Judas Iscariot, and Yahushua, incorrectly Jesus. In Mark 14 and the other Gospels, we read about Yehuda from Kirioth, one of 12 men closest to Yahushua, who went to the chief priests and betrayed Yahushua. Subsequently, he repented and committed suicide. Another case of a highly anointed one falling into serious sin and error. Saul, or Paul, and Jerusalem. In Acts 20, we read of Saul having traveled extensively, sharing the good news, the gospel, relating to Yeshua, is repeatedly warned by Yah of imprisonment if he goes to Jerusalem. Yet he insists on going and becomes a prisoner, massively limiting his ability to minister for the rest of his life. Another case of a highly anointed one following his own leading into error and disobedience to Yah. Summing up, read the Bible. The Bible is full of examples of anointed men who made mistakes, got into error and sin. Further examples include Solomon, Samson, etc. Thus, the principle that I'm addressing in this article is substantiated by these examples, to be continued next week. So in wrapping up, I would like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator today. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is such an important point. The only reason this entire universe exists is because Father wanted friends. And there is almost nobody on the earth today who is truly a friend. What are you going to do about it? He wants you to be his friend. Not that person or 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 that person. He wants you, you, to be his friend. And I'm kind of guessing that you might not be doing all that much about that. If you are, I commend you and encourage you, and I ask you to contact me and I'll help you. If you're not, please think carefully about what I'm saying. On the website, some key documents and a video, compendium of important articles, video on why seek relationship, the miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity, the essence of my message to Christians, Muslims, Jews, etc., available at endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, or else Google, quote, relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search and the article search are in the site right-hand sidebar menu. Just scroll down a bit and you'll find them. The Google search is particularly powerful. Google functionality across the entire website, as I've said, about 2,400 articles, over 1,000 web pages, likely to be answers to a lot of your questions on the website. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. As I've said, that's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word, james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me if you found the broadcast challenging, interesting, whatever. I would love to hear from you. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, telephone, so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, he wants you, to become his friend. Doesn't matter your age, whether you're young or old, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're black or white or colored or whatever, whether you're short or tall, whether you're thin or fat, whether you're African, European, Asian, whatever, whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes, or black hair and brown eyes, whatever. It doesn't matter, and it's a lie that you in some way are disqualified. He wants every one of us to be his friend, and right now virtually none of us are his friend. So I encourage you to step up to the mark, to accept the challenge, get on your knees and cry out to him and contact me. Thanks so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my